Blog Talk Radio. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to go right into the word. Plus, I just want to say thank you for joining us on the line today. We have done some changes in our actually hope call on tonight. We usually have a hope call during the course of the day at 10:30, but somehow through the Spirit, He has challenged this and challenged me to push this to the evening, which I feel is more better for those who are maybe up in the morning doing work and moving around, and that they have a chance that they get home and settle a little bit during the course of dinner, during the course of whatever they may be doing in a private time. Just to turn on their phones and listen and hear what the Word of God has to say on tonight. As I want to say once again, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. And we thank you for calling in to be with us on tonight. Those of you who are out there in the listening land who I see is already popping up on the line, there is a number that you can text or send over to your friends and tell them about the teaching that we're doing tonight on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of the segments we're going to be dealing with tonight is why baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the number to call in is 347-637-1074. We're actually located at 1655 North Central Expressway. For those of you in the city of Dallas, that's the Holiday Inn Express off of Campbell Road. If there's any more information you need about us, who we are, and what we represent, and what part we play in the body of Christ, you can give us a call at 214-870-2146, or you can go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. We're going to get right into this word. We're going to open up with prayer. We're going to have our own sister, Sunitra Stredick, to open us up with prayer, and we're going to move forward from this point and hear what the Word has to say on tonight. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to open up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you blessed us to see, Lord. We thank you for the word that you're going to bring forth tonight. I just ask that you have your way on this line tonight in Jesus' name. Let it be all of you, dear God. Let us receive the education of your word through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Let everyone that's listening be able to receive your word and to be able to take you with them and walk in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank the woman of God for praying with us. We do have co-pastor Patty Ellis with us here tonight, who's always sitting silently in the background, but yet listening, because this is what she do. She's a strategist. And when building this ministry, she's a very key part, has been my partner in the ministry. So we're introducing some of the young people to the forefront, giving them the opportunity to step out and hear that you don't got to be complicated. You don't have to be well-educated, but you got to come and understand and know there's a leadership area in the ministry in which we provide for those who want to be a part. And there is an area for each and everyone who want to be a part of this ministry to move forward. So this is a place that you can come and reside in and be a part of what God is doing in your life. Good or bad, God can change you, but you got to have a heart to want to change. Amen. We're going to open up, and as I said before, for those of you who have your pens and paper together, we want you to take notes tonight. We're going to be going through some very delicate parts of the ministry in terms of teaching about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is very important to the body of Christ. And last week we left out on the term speaking about the baptism, water baptism, and how relevant is water baptism to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They both are collaborative. They both come together. They both receive through your walk with Christ, that you have to have the both to receive the fullness of what God has for your life. But as we said before, you know, there are seven different types of baptism. When I say that, seven different types, I don't want you to move outside the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but there are several different types of the baptism I'm talking about in the Scripture. We're talking about the terms of the Scripture speaks about. There's seven different ways He speaks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it was performed in individual lives and individual events as Christ began to move in the primary part of His ministry and going forth and doing the work. As we understand and realize, we look over in the book of Luke 6, 3 and 16, and as we go into the Word, you might want to write that down for reference. And it talks about the process in Luke 3 and 16. He said, "John answered and said unto him, all I indeed baptize you with water. Now look what he says. John answered, saying unto thee, all. He said all. I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, who the latches of his shoes, and he said, I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. We're talking purification now. Those of you who are in the Bible study on Sunday morning, we spoke, my wife spoke a very profound word to the point over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and how everything that's not like God will actually receive a scorching, a fire, meaning the point it won't stand, to the point that what the Holy Spirit has for you to do, because fire brings forth purification. And as we understand the process of what he was saying, Jesus knew that when he came in and John began to baptize him with water, was the first significance that he had already received the Holy Spirit. But as Jesus came out of the water and praying as he was coming up, he was beginning to pray as he's coming out of the water. Now his ministry is in the process of beginning. Now it becomes complete. Now what are you saying, Pastor? Your life is complete already through what God has done on the cross, what Jesus has done on the cross, but through the understanding of the revelation of the Word of God, there is another procedure that follows you in terms of what he did on the cross, cleanse you through the blood. It wiped away your sins. Now, sin has got a peculiar way of trying to come back, and I kind of make a little joke about it, but we think about it, sin is kind of like an old boyfriend. He just don't know when he's cut loose. And I talk about when Valentine's Day come and you done told him it's quitting time and we ain't going to be dating no more. And cuz come up there, got the biggest box of chocolates. And you done told him already that he cut loose. He's like a, in other words, Satan's like an old boyfriend that don't know when, he don't know when he's cut, he don't know when to say quit. And you done told him already. So what we're saying in reference to that is the, how these things are still in our life, even though we go in the water and we're baptized, but we still come up with the revelation of understanding now there are still things that, because we went in the water, it just didn't wash away. But there are some things, according to the book of Galatians 5, it talks about the spiritual walk now. Remember what we're speaking. Jesus now has went to the cross and cured you from all your sins, but the Holy Spirit is now come to be your comforter. Now he empowers you where you're weak. That means when you go through malice, when you go to temptation, you go to all these things, when your language was a little spicy back then, it holds you up from being tempted to do things that you ought not to do. But as we move forward and begin to understand the process I spoke on yesterday on Sunday morning, I began to speak a little bit about over in the book of Matthew chapter 10 for those of you who was in the early morning service, which is very important in your teaching. And we talked about how Jesus began and the performing of his miracles over in the book of over in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, how he began to go through the process of opening his ministry up by the healing of the miracles that he was performing on the people who was really destituted. And really, it wasn't that Jesus was trying to show them that he's better than anybody else. He was just trying to show them that he's empowered, that everything he do what his Father's telling him to do. When we go over to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 9, we look at all the miracles that Jesus, one of the most miracle-performed chapters that Jesus really got into. Really, when we talk about his first miracle, when he changed the water to wine, but there's a lot of other miracles perceived before that even took place. Because now we look over in Matthew 9, and we talk about when Jesus began to turn the water to wine, he followed on coming, and he was really headed to a woman that had an issue in her life. And as she was dealing with some woman problems, and on the area of her, as some areas that the woman function in, and sometimes in a quarterly month or monthly quarters. And he began to speak a word to this woman as he began to go toward her. But there was a stop in between. Then he came to a synagogue ruler over in Matthew 9 and 18. And his name was by the name of Jairus. And Jairus began to come to him and began to plead to him over in Matthew 9 and 18 about how his daughter is not dying. Matter of fact, he figured she was already dead, but not a power of what the Holy Spirit is about to perform upon the life of Jesus Christ. And what he's doing is going to be, it's about to spread.
about to move like a ripple in the water. It's about to hit because now the demonstration is about to take place. John baptized him with water, but now the baptism of the Holy Spirit is upon him. Now Jesus couldn't perform anything. He couldn't do no work. His whole 32 years of his ministry that he was here on earth, his whole time he was on earth, he waited all his life to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to perform the work that he really needed to do. We talk about in the work of the book of John when he's mesmerizing the people, some of the Pharisees in the synagogue, but now it's coming to the nitty-gritty. The rubber begins to meet the road. Now he's got to be sent out into the public. He's getting ready to go to the mission field. You know, and now he's out in the mission field, and he's going to meet all kinds of people, Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrins. Everybody's getting ready to come against him. But Jesus began to let the Spirit do the talking. He let everything he performed do. It performed the action. And when Jairus began to come to him, began to plead him over in the book of Matthew 9 about how his daughter was seriously dead. And he began to look upon her and said that his daughter is really not dying, but she's only just really sleeping. But again, you understand that when you read it, the people say they laughed at him. But as they begin to laugh at him, Jesus began to displace all the negativity out of the room. As he began to put them out of the room, he began to perform to do what he needed to do. So, Pastor, what are we saying here, going in why the baptism of the Holy Spirit? There are some things that's in your life that you need to put out of your life to receive God into your life, that he even already gave you the ability through his blood and what he done on the cross to cleanse you from your sins. You know, you don't have to beat God up or beat Jesus up and beg him for anything because he's already been given unto you. But he's just waiting on you to be able to receive him with open arms to let his power work through you, which is the Holy Ghost. That even when you were dead and weak in your transgressions, which he speaks about in the book of Ephesians, now he's about to make you live through the performing of the miracles that he done over in the Matthew 9. He's showing you that you can't come against this. It's an old song, that old MC Hammer thing. MC Hammer said, you can't touch this. And he began to do his thing over in the book of Matthew 9. He goes on and deals with the woman, the issue of blood. He goes on down and you read over in the book of Matthew 9 and 27, he began to deal with the blind man. And one thing about the story about the blind man and the power of the Holy Spirit, he said when he came into the house, and it probably was Peter's house, the blind man came to him. See, the Holy Spirit wants you to open up and be able to receive, not doubting. The Bible says not wavering, as he says over in the book of James, not doubting in your spirit that whatever you feel that you may have that seems impossible to you, it's already made to you. And as you look over in Matthew 9 and 28, he said, when the man came unto him, and it was probably Peter's house, as I said before, and Jesus said unto him, and notice the words, do you believe? That's the first thing, that I'm able to do this. Now notice there was a question mark following most of y'all verses, because it's not Jesus who's doing it, it's what's working through him, because he came to represent the power of the Father. Remember, the Holy Spirit is now clothed in flesh. But when we read back over in the book of Matthew, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12 begin to tell us that I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Now I'm going to show you how this is supposed to be done. That even though people who don't understand, that they can't believe in something, they can't see Jesus, I'm going to show you that what the impossibility is in your mind, that's going to be possible. This thing was going on way back in the book of Jeremiah 17 and 32. I mean, 32 and 17, excuse me, when Jesus began to perform the word and said, is there anything too hard for me to do? And he begins to bring the revelation, all that which is written in the Old Testament, which is a type and shadow of what everything's about to come to revelation in the New Testament. He's about to show them the power, what you need to help you move forward. Because we as people in our life, we are plagued with proclivities and things and subvertiness that pulls us out of the way. And what God has designed and genetically engineered us to be able to walk in. The Bible says not doubting and not wavering, but yet believing. Jesus asked the question to the young man over in Matthew 9 and 28. He said, do you believe that I can do this? And the young man began to respond in the area of faith. And he said to him, yes, Lord. And Jesus began to do just what he was designed to do. Then they say in the 29th verse of Matthew 9 and 20, they say he touched his eyes. He lightly touched them. Darkness began to dissipate, like the darkness in your life. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it begins to weave out those things that's been holding you back, that's been problematizing you and making you feel that you're not able or you're not worthy to be a part of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus began to tell you that you were created in the image of Christ. My wife, the co-pastor, began to speak about that very process over in the book of 1 Corinthians 3:11. Begins to talk about how the stubble, the stones, the gold, and all these things that we put before us as an example to how when we put the fragments before God and we begin to dwell on those problems in our life that we don't understand that now Christ is in the midst, that he's already shed his blood on the cross. Not only did he shed his blood on the cross to help us through some of our shortcomings, but he enabled us through the Spirit to receive that even when we fall short, that the Holy Ghost is yet there, coaching us, strengthening us, saying that you can do it. Yeah, I know it's a hard one, but you can do this thing because I am there with you, because I will never leave you. I would never, ever forsake you. He said, I'll be with you until the very end of times. Now, as we go on and go forward, we notice some more miracles about the dumb and the man who was the dumb man who had a dumb spirit him over in Matthew 9:32. And you can go through this and read these stories on your own time. But my whole argument on Sunday morning is leading back to what we're dealing with on tonight is why the Holy Spirit. If we didn't catch it on Sunday morning, Jesus in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew began to demonstrate that once the miracle that he performed over in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, now he's beginning to delegate that power over to the 12 apostles. He began to give them a spirit, as it says in Matthew 10, and when he called them unto him, and he began to call the apostles, he gave them power. He's not really just talking to them in this day and age, he's talking to you. Unless you receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Bible says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce life. You're the seed of life. God has genetically engineered you to be able to come over every situation that you go through. But like he said to the man over in the book of Matthew, 9th chapter, in 28, do you believe that it can be done? So the Holy Spirit empowers you. This is why you need it. Because sometimes you're weak in the flesh. And Christ said, when you're weak, you're made perfect through my strength, because I am the one who enables you and pushes you forward. And as we go into the study tonight, I want you to pay careful attention as the words are being read and the things that are being said, and not look at it as a fairy tale, as we have the woman of God, Sister Shanitra Stretic, to read over in the book of Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 13 to 17, as it brings things to a clarity about why the Holy Spirit is really needed in our lives to the point that in our flesh that we are weak. Because remember, we're human, and we still got stuff on us. It ain't quite fell off us. Woman of God, go ahead and read.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now let's look at this real careful. Let's look at this. Even though John was doing the baptism, but he needed to be baptized also. Does that ring a bell anywhere? You hear me say the story all the time. When you rebuke somebody else, you got to turn around and rebuke yourself. In other words, when you shut somebody else down about the sins in their life, you got to shut somebody down about the sins in your life. You got to be shut down your own self. You know, you got to turn around and rebuke yourself. Because John is really saying, now, I'm here to baptize you, but you say, no, I need to baptize you too. Because all righteousness needs to be fulfilled, that all men will receive that which Christ has given them. and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that he's the comforter to help you in all your ways. Just because you're baptizing, John, doesn't mean you don't need to get baptized also. So I need to baptize you as well. But it sums up the story a little bit more clear in the book of Mark. We go to the book of Mark, over in the first chapter of Mark, and it kind of says the same thing, but you got to look at the difference between what the woman of God just read and what's taking place now. This is why I'm saying you got to read the scriptures very carefully, because they're somewhat in comparison of the same thing, but they're saying something in difference to give you a different understanding. But over in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 9, and it says that my daughter was coming in as always to be with me in my study. She's learning. And it says in the book of Mark 1, verse 9 through 11, he said, it came to pass in those days, now notice in those days, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized of John, look, in the water. But we look at Matthew 3 and 13, he said John was forbidden for him to be baptized. But John was baptized in the Jordan, and straightway the Spirit came up out, and straightway the Spirit came up out of the water, and he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, when you look at this, you would think it's a repetitive answer being all over, you would say it all over again, because it came to pass in those days, that Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized, look, of John in the Jordan. And when you look at Matthew 3 and 13, as we revert back and we look at the same thing, we see that then came Jesus from Galilee. But it says in Mark 9 and 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days when Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized. Now, Matthew is really saying the same thing, but the difference in what it's speaking here, when you look at the difference in the two verses, it's saying that there's a people that's standing near that's watching the power that's about to take place. Not only did this point in time that through the fall of Adam, this is probably the first time people have ever been this close to the power of God and what's about to take place. They said they stood around and they watched as Jesus baptized John and John baptized Jesus. And they're looking at this front and saying, wow, now we believe that this is one of the most extraordinary times that ever in our life. This is one of the most extraordinary times we've ever been this close to something so powerful since the days of the Old Testament, when we was out there acting rebellious in the wilderness and we were getting hit by lightning because of our disobedience. But even now, when we understand the scripture and what it's saying, it looks like it's kind of saying the same thing, but it's really not. It's challenging you that even as you, as a woman, a man of God, receive the Holy Spirit, and as God is looking at you as well, been well pleased, therefore the people around you will notice your light, and they want to become more like you. Of course, they're going to come to you with a hard spirit, thinking they are this and that, they don't need Christ. No, you need them too. And this is what Jesus is saying to John. Even though you baptize and give me the word, you baptize me, I baptize you. So we both can receive the fullness of what Christ has in store for us. It's not going to be one-sided. It's not just me baptizing you, but you baptizing me. It's not so much just in the water, but teaching each other that even in the language study and when we study the word of God, that how we both come together and begin to sharpen one another, that we both may receive the fullness of what Christ has in store for us. You know, when you come to the house, when you go to the restaurant and you go out and eat, you know, you might go in there and you might miss something. You know, you might miss a meal or something may not taste right to you. But I don't believe you got to go through that when you come into the house of God. I believe that God is going to serve you with everything you need, that you don't have to miss nothing, that he's there to give you all what you need according to when you open your heart to him. But the word of God goes on to speak over in the book of Luke again in Luke 3 and 21. And I'm going to have a woman of God read this in the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22 again. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. And I'm going to paraphrase some things in here, but I'm going to give you some strength in here in what she's saying here. Luke 3, 21 to 22.
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, like a dove, upon him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.
Now, everybody was standing around witnessing the power. Now, they say after all of them was baptized, and then here come the true Messiah himself. Not only was he baptized, but he laid himself down that he may be baptized. So this is what we're speaking about here. And it really reverts back over to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, that when Jesus called his apostles together, and he begins them to give them the power among the 12, that even when they stayed in Jerusalem, and it reads, when it tells about how they begin to stay together, and he gave the names of them, but he goes on over in the 5th verse, and he said the 12 he sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of Galilee, and into the cities, go to any city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, save mine who was chosen first by my Father. And as ye go, he said, don't take nothing with you. Through the ninth verse, look how he's saying from the 7th verse. And he said, go ye and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look what the power he gave them. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils, and freely have you received, and freely should you give. That's the same thing he was doing over in the 9th chapter of Matthew. You know, what he delegated onto them, what was delegated onto him. So their job was to stay in the surrounding areas, which was Jerusalem, demonstrating what was given to them. And those who stood and watched received by looking on and knowing that if he received it like this, and he being the one who baptized us, and the one who baptized us, he being baptized, now we receive what fell upon him. There's something about when the Bible talks, you talk about, you hear the old stories in your parents' home, and they say, you know, when you see a child that looks like his father, or you see a daughter that looks like her mother, and you see their ways, and they tend to follow their mother or their father, and you hear the old folks say, you know, the apple never falls too far from the tree. But God has given a revelation that declared, decreed that even what was rooted wrong in that direction, through the power of them receiving the Holy Ghost, he can break the ties of every generational curse. The Word of God reads over in the book of John, chapter 1, the 29th verse. And it said, in the next day Jesus sent, John sent Jesus coming unto him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away all the what? The sin of the world. And he said, this is of him who said after me, there cometh a man which preferred, now that's the King James Version, before me. For he will be before me, and I know him not, but he that should be made manifested to Israel. Therefore I am coming to baptize with water. Notice what he's saying. The sins are taken away, but now I'm going to baptize with water. And John bearing the record saying, I saw a spirit descending from the heavens like a dove. Now, he witnessing some stuff. He said, I saw it. You got to tell me about it. I've seen it. And sometimes, you know, the old saying, people say, you know, seeing is believing. But even sometimes when you see things, people still don't believe. Jesus said in the Word in the Bible, talking about have them seeing but not seeing. Their eyes are still stopped. They're still blind. Yet they hear, but they don't perceive. Yeah. But he goes on in that second part of that verse of the book of John, St. John, for those of you not familiar, St. John chapter 1 and 29. And he said, bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and it abided upon him. And that was a strong word that we spoke about in Sunday school, abiding. Because John chapter 15 said, abide in me and I in you. So the branches can't grow away from the tree. The branches got to be with the tree because Jesus Christ represents the true root. He's the stump. He's the rock that's in the ground. And what stems from him is the branches. And all that branches from him that don't produce fruit will fall off. That's why you see something they talk about generational curses. You see young men and women who go out in the streets and begin to stray away from the things that their father and mother has taught them. And then they fall into mischief. And then part of falling into mischief, the devil comes in and try to cut them off. And even sometimes we self-destroy our own selves by straying away from the Word of God without producing fruit, but going in the negative way, going the way the world wants us to go, and not hearing what the Lord has been telling us all of our lives. The Bible said, train a child when he's young, and when he grow up, he won't depart. And if he do depart, he'll come back, because now that word is still in him. And he will understand now that what he was taught and the things he is doing is not of Christ. This is all dealing with the baptism, or why the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may stray on some things, but once you receive the power of God upon you, the enemy has got to flee. And we talked about the process of how the Holy Spirit descended. Why the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why it was important? Why is it such an armor in this day? Why is Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor of God? Why is he saying that? The Word of God talks about how the devil is busy. And the John 10:10 says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. His job is to uproot that what was planted in you from the time you were born. Jeremiah 1:5 tells you before you were born, he knew what he put in you. When we look over in the book of Corinthians, and we look over in the 12th chapter, in the 7th verse, he talks about the manifestation of the spirits and how all those people who learn how to stoop and understand that to come to the stoop, and you got to learn to serve. And when you serve, then you will learn to come up. And what God planned he has for your life. Jesus had to really come down on earth and humble himself for 30-some-odd years until he really came to the point that now my ministry is about to take off. So be with us as men and women of God. All right. Is there something hitting home? But I believe I got some help up in here tonight. I believe the Lord is moving in this study tonight. But as he began to speak about the baptism with water, it's permitted even in our life, that once the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to deal with us with the sins that are in our life, and we begin to struggle, now here comes the baptism. They say, God, if you fully agree from walking out, from straying from sin, then I will totally empower you and enable you with the things that's hindering you, because you can't do it on your own. There's a contract that he's putting in place for you. And the contract, when you go to the book of Romans 10:8-9, he says about it's the confession of your mouth and the believing in your heart. You were made unto salvation. But now as you come to salvation, the Holy Spirit enters in. And as it begins to pull away those bad leaves and weeds that's in you, sin, lying, lasciviousness, cheating, adultery, negative thinking. Romans speaks about that very strong, that your mind has got to be renewed in Romans 12:2. He said, you got to have a spiritual renewing in your mind. Galatians follows it up with the things that plague us about how we walk and how we begin to be torn down from the things that enabled us or stopped us from receiving the full effect of what the Holy Spirit has designed for us. But the Holy Spirit comes in to cleanse you. It comes in to cleanse you, not of the sins. It comes to cleanse you of the things that you need to be empowered to. The sins has already been given for what he done on the cross. Now the Holy Spirit is there to give you an extra boost, that when you struggle with the sins in your life, that he's there to coach you. Go this way, go that way. It's kind of like you in the picture and Christ is looking at you saying, no, you don't want to go that direction. Go that direction. That's why the Word of God speaks over in Proverbs 3:5. It talks a strong word that he'll lead you into all truth. He said, lean not to your own, but acknowledge God in all his ways, and he will direct your path. Remember, your sins has already been forgiven through what he done on the cross. The blood has already washed you. When you go over to the book of Isaiah 53, for those who want to only show you something here, we talk about the cross, and we talk about all the things that Jesus did on the cross. Yeah, that was true. He did a lot for us on the cross. But over in Isaiah 53, and it's a very familiar scripture, but I want to break it down to you and get you some clarity and understanding of what he's saying in Isaiah 53:5. But he says, when you understand the underlying statements and how the sequence has been synchronized, when it's saying, he said, but he was, notice that, he was wounded. I mean, when was mean, when you understand the narrative, I mean, it's already been done. It was done. It's past tense. He said he was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace, it was upon you. And by the stripes he took, you are healed. Jesus began to speak a powerful word that it just wasn't done on the cross. I did it all the way to the cross. I was taking all the wounds and all the punishment and all your sins for those who even weren't even born into this life today, that I will cleanse you from all your sins. And then I'm going to send my son that he may draw his blood and he may die for you as the last sacrificial lamb. He's going to do what the Levitical priesthood boys came short on. That's not going to be no more cutting up of lambs and goats and all of this stuff they did over in the holies of holies. When he died on the cross, I'm going to split the veil from top to bottom. That he's going to be the last sacrificial lamb. And he's going to proclaim the word from this day forth. But it's only to him that believes that even in your disbelief, Christ, I still got my hands on you waiting for you to come to me where I want you to be. Because darkness is going to come one day. And we ought to want to line up our lives and see where we're going. Not, I don't preach a scare message. I preach a word of hope, of knowledge, of understanding, direction. That when we receive the word of God, that our hope, our expectation, everything that's in him. This word that we speak about, why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. You know, I can't keep living in sin. Keep putting God, Christ off. And then one day, you know, he said he comes, the enemy, death comes like a thief in the night. That no man knows the time, place, or when. Yeah, we got the false prophets on TV prophesying that it's going to be this, it's going to be that. We got these false prophets running around the church. Oh, it's a boy, it's a girl, and this. I'm not with them prophets just playing with themselves. If you really want a revelation of Christ and a revelation of God, let God impute something in you as he did to Elijah and Elijah to show you that the power of God has got the ability to move beyond measure in your life. Then when you believe the miracles that he done over in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, these miracles were to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, would enable him to do the work. Because Jesus couldn't do anything till after he was baptized. And then he was tested. He was tried through the fire. They say he went into the wilderness and Satan began to just go at him with all kinds of things. But one thing he whooped him with, he whooped him with the word. It is written. Everything that Satan came at him, he said, it is written. That proved the fact that now the baptism of the Holy Spirit is now upon him. If it never would have been upon him, he probably would have been in the same position Adam was in. Not saying Adam was a bad person, but he was designed and engineered to be able to take over the garden. But when Eve began to come in and looked at him and said, this is some good fruit. This tastes good. What you taste? He said, no. He should have said right there, no, we can't eat that. But because of one man's sin, it rippled. And all of my, I shouldn't have to taste the abuse that when my sister and brother and them get in trouble, that I got to get a whooping too. And I talked about in church, sometimes your mama come in and she said, who broke the lamp? Well, Charles broke it. Well, I say Ruthie broke it or Preston broke it. No, see, I'm going to beat all y'all because now truth comes forth. Because now when you look at the story of what happened with Adam, because of his sin, everybody was under the unction of sin. It fell upon all men. But here come the last sacrificial lamb. I'm going to deliver you from that. I'm going to give you the individual ability to come out of that. So if you choose, the Bible says freely receive, freely given, freely receive. The Holy Spirit will come and empower you. Individual. It's an individual walk. Your relationship with Christ has got to be individual. No, it ain't Pastor Ellis. It ain't Bishop T.D. Jake. It ain't Bill Winston. It ain't Charles Stanley. No, it's the word that he called us to do, to be able to give you the word and what you need to walk according to what he's put in you to divine purpose through the Holy Spirit. As we read the subjects and read the stories on tonight, it's not any difference or any difference of what God is calling us to do. When we go over to the book of Acts, and we look at the book of Acts, and as a woman of God goes to the book of Acts, and we get ready to come short of our broadcast, but listen to the teaching tonight. Why the Holy Spirit? As she take time, and you turn over to the book of Acts, and you look at chapter 2 and verse 38, begin to read. As she begin to read, listen carefully. As she reads in the book of Acts 2 and 38. This is a lot of power that took place in the book of Acts. If you ever get a chance to study, just go through the book of Acts and thoroughly study it. You will find that it was power beyond measure that was demonstrated by the Comforter, which was the Holy Spirit that was left here. Oh, he got some stuff that he can get up out of you when you can't get out yourself. Woman of God, read for us over in Acts 2 and 38, please.
All righty. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Now notice the difference in terms of what he's making there. He told them in the word, he said, repentance of the baptism. He said in the book of Acts 2 and 38, he said, then Peter said to them, repent. The first thing we as men, we got to repent. And after we come under the area of repentance, then the baptism to every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of what? Not the Holy Spirit, remission of your sins. The Holy Spirit that will empower you when you weaken things that you can't under, because you can't control. Fleshly deeds, adultery, eyes wandering when you've already been committed to what God has called you to be committed to, things in your life that you can't seem to be controlled by, that God has already enabled you to the point to realize and understand that now it takes the power of the Holy Ghost, as the old folks say, to get you through the shadow, what seems to be the valley of death. He said, yea, though you go through, but it takes the Holy Spirit to engulf you, to move you forward. No, you can't keep coming to church and hollering in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and then you're going outside the church being like the devil, fighting your wife or beating your husband. I'm talking about married folks right now. And even if you do get out there, and it's an old saying that you got to watch the devil because he's always on his job. And Joker come up there and driving up to the pump, and you send the pump of your gas, he's looking over you, you want a date? No, what the hell? No, I want to go to hell. Boy, the devil using you. You need to understand that you need to be saved. And when you understand you be saved, that's a direction that God is giving through a divine appointment that he's already declared according to his word, that he will not take back. Because the Holy Spirit makes it very clear and very perfect in our understanding that even in Psalms 89 and 34, he said, my commandments I will not alter. I won't revert from them. He says over in the book of Numbers, when you look at the Old Testament, he said that he's been given the commandments according to what his father delivered unto him, just Christ has been delivered unto him. And God said, I begin a commandment to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Why can he can't reverse it? Because God's not a God that he will lie, and he's not a son of a man that he should have to repent. So even when we ask God for something, even when we're trying to be delivered from something, and we still fall short, here come mercy, here come grace. That thing will come up on you like the Indianapolis 500. Them cars be busting their transmission trying to get up out there. Because here come the power of the Most High God to deliver you in the midst of your weakness. Because every man falls short of something in their life. When you want to call somebody and tell you that I got the Lord in me, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you fall short too. That's why we need iron, sharpened iron. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the ministry. Sometimes people have been in the ministry 20 years, but they're still in the first grade. You ain't got the ability to brag on anyone, but through the power of the Holy Spirit is endowed in you that enable you to move beyond the things that have been holding you in your life. I believe I'm talking to somebody. In the book of Acts 8 and 35 to 38, he said that Philip opened his mouth and being at the same scripture, he preached unto Jesus. He began to speak the very words. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Listen to this. And the Enochs, we know who the Enochs was. Those are the people who was enslaved, Pharaoh's henchmen, that was over the children of Israel, over the children of Egypt, and began to beat them and hit them with straps every time they begin to do something disobedient. And he said to them, and there the water he doeth hinder me to be baptized. And Philip said, as thou believest with all thy heart, and thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariots to stand still. That when they went down both into the water, both Philip and the Enoch, and he baptized them. This is a very interesting part of some scripture here. Because not only what it's saying that not only did Philip being a man of God was baptized, but he baptized the devil up out of the Enoch too. They got cleansed. When you stand in the presence of somebody who believed the word of God, And that word begins to ripple, and it stands beside them, and it won't deny them. It'll begin to affect them too. That's why the word of God says, lay hands on no man suddenly. When he says that even though you say you love the Lord and you say you feel with the Holy Ghost, you don't move until the Holy Spirit take you to move. Because you could be giving the devil a body. You putting the devil into somebody. So the Bible tells you, watch and pray and be careful for nothing, but do all things through prayer and supplication. He said these things that come through deliverance and come through fasting and praying. But we got to realize and understand, ladies and gentlemen, in our life and what God is calling us to do, to walk in holiness, we got to realize that in this season, the enemy has given out more gifts, more power than ever before, because he's putting himself in a form of a light, and he's deceiving the very elect. That's why Jesus began to speak. These things only come by you fasting and praying, spending time with God, understanding that you gotta train yourself to walk upright, to do right, to be able to understand that you under the humiliation, not the humiliation, but under the unction of the power of the Holy Spirit, that he would enable you through your shortcomings to be able to be strong when you're weak, to know that now he's calling you to attention, to be a soldier in the army of the Lord, to move forward in the work that he's calling you to do. We're coming close to our service, and we're going to move out of here, and we're going to be dealing with the same subject this coming Thursday. And I have a co-pastor on the line who always has got some powerful things to speak and say, and I'm going to open up the line for her to speak, because you might hear my daughter back there. That's a good thing, because she's learning while she's around her parents. So we're going to open up the line for co-pastor Patty Ellis to speak on this subject tonight and talk about this Bible study because she started it. Sunday morning. So she really got in the middle of it, and she began to open it up a little bit more. So we're going to give her the floor tonight and let her speak. Her mic is on.
I'm just going to say a real quick comment. This is really good scripture this evening. It's going to tie right into what we're going to be going into this weekend as well, or on Sunday, of how you're receiving the Holy Spirit and how important that is. What we're talking about this evening is when we're coming out of Luke. I like both of the versions because it gives you kind of just a little bit different of a way of looking at it. But I want you to continue just to again my encouragement to you. Is to continue just because we're building upon each one of the lessons. We're building one. They're all going to be connecting. So I just want to encourage you to all keep listening in so you can get the full effect. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So we're going to continue too on Sunday and Sunday school.
Amen. 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 You know, the women of the house has really been doing a great work. I always challenge the men to step up. You know, sometimes we can just get hard-headed, us men. Sometimes we can really be some knuckleheads. Just to tell the truth about it. And that's just us as men, period. You know, it says something. We just got to be able to humble ourselves to the point to come to know how to stoop and then serve. We can't just let the women step up and take over, which I don't mind that, because my wife don't walk behind me. She don't walk in front of me. She walks beside me. She's not anywhere other than what God intended her to be. And this is what we have to step up as men and women in the house of God that lead as examples. As Titus said, the older women admonish the young women to teach them. And this is a very powerful subject that we're dealing tonight. And there's been a lot of callers popping in and popping out. But I'm telling you, those who pop in and pop out, the Holy Spirit will scorch you. It's like you're opening a hot oven and you ain't ready for it. It'll singe you. If you ain't ready for it, it'll burn your face off. Because if you don't come in there with the understanding, see, your humility is really your protection. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then you'll be able to receive what God has in store for you. But if you come in there kicking and scratching and fighting and nodding and not receiving, okay, you can go the easy way, you can go the hard way. Because one thing about it, there's two places you can go. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. Either one. It's your choice. So even when the pastor or the man of God or the woman of God, whoever, they don't see you, you ain't hiding from us. You got to stand before him. Because every man has got to give account. I got to stand before God and give my account. As I said on Sunday morning, before the middle of the service, I said when you take one step, the devil takes two, and every man has got to give account for his life. That's why it's an individual walk in Christ, and he's calling on us to step up to the plate and begin to save the young ones, those who are in the city of Samaria, Judea, all the nation. That's why he said in the word of God, he said, he sent them out to all the world to proclaim the gospel. The story, when you study it and you look at it enough in chapter 10, the men of God was only called to that certain region that was in the city of Judea in Samaria. And he began to hold them there. But the reason he put them just those 12 in that general area, because it's like anything else. Something that's small starts small. It's like you have a sore or something, an infection, and you go to scratching on that thing going to spread. When you scratch the word of God, it'll spread. Some people like to use the word cancer, but I bind that in the name of Jesus on the life of anybody on the line and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And even as we close out this service, I pray for each and every one of you. Father God, I declare the word of God right now that even as we speak, that has already been done according to your word, that we as a people who are on the line and at the harvest, New Light Church, will be that which you have called us to be, that we may spread the word to all those who out there are lost. Make us like the 12 apostles, that we have the power to heal, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to call those things to be not, though if they were, according to Romans 4:17. Let us be delegated to our families to save them as been our immediate families, like he said the very ones of Israel was his, that we save ours in our household first, our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, and as they receive the power of the Holy Spirit, they will go out and begin to spread the word of how they receive that what God has put upon their life. Lord, we speak a word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that everyone on this line will receive a full-fledged engulfed gulp of the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit on the night, and everything that's in their life that seems to be hindering them and holding them back, Lord, we don't bind it, we loose it, that you will come in and have your way with them, that they receive all that you have in store for them. Lord, command their mind, according to Romans 12:2, that they walk upright, that when they walk upright, they'll understand this through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for even blessing my father-in-law, Lord, Albert Marquez, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. I declare by the word of God that even the burden that's on my wife because of her father, Lord, that it don't hold her, Father God, that she'll be prayed up and she'll stay faced up, Lord, to know that God could deliver my whatever it is that's in her life and in his life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak a word that even over my mother in the name of Jesus, that even in the state that she's in, Father God, line everything up in her body according to the blood, according to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that she may receive that even in the midst of it seems it could be a dying situation, that you got the ability to raise her up by the word that's moving forward right now out of this household, out of this very broadcast, that she will receive all that you have in store for her, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for every faithful member coming online to be a part of what you're doing in our life. Lord, we decree, we declare, and we speak as kings and princes and power in the name of Jesus Christ, that we've got the authority in our mouth to declare things according to your word, according to your power, according to your grace. That no weapon formed against us should prosper. Nothing will be able to stand. Lord, I break every negative mindset in the name of Jesus. They mind that even when they sleep, I declare peace on the life of every individual on the line. That they're like lambs, they sleep like babies on tonight. That even when they rise up in the morning, Lord, they're rather refreshed and restored by the regenerating of the power of your Holy Spirit and have a new revelation, a new outlook in life. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every one of them belong to you. And I decree a word right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call it being done according to your plan. These things I'm asking not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, I decree it, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, Lord, amen. And even as you begin to go out and you read the website, I'm Pastor Charles Utter here once again at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. For those of you who want to come out, be a part of the service and visit us, we want you to come out and be a part of us. We want you to be a part of what God is doing in Harvest New Life. Now, I always say small in size, but big otherwise. God is doing some ministry that we're moving forward. We're 1655 North Central Expressway. Now, we're in the Holiday Inn. That whole downstairs floor belongs to us. And We got the children's ministry for those who, women of God, who are coming in. They don't want to tussle with your children during the course of the time they're missing. We got a place for them that you may receive all that God has in store for you when you come in and receive the Word of God. For our website address, we want you to go to www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Once again, that's harvestnewlifechurch.com. You see all the information, the directions to where we are, and tell your friends about it. This coming month, we're going to be doing our Friends and Family Day, and we're going to be announcing that to go out over the airways as well. But once again, we thank you. For those of you who want to call me on a personal note for private prayer, you can do just that. You can reach me at area code 214-870-2146. For those who want to call my wife, you can call and speak to her on that same line, and she'll be able to talk to you as being women of God for any issues that you may have or things that you may have going on in your life that you just need somebody to come and just agree with you. We thank you once again for being a part of this whole program on this Monday afternoon, and we pray that God will continue to touch you, be with you as we leave off the land. As we always say, we may leave this land, but we never leave Christ, and he's always with us. So God bless you, and God keep you.